This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a great leader, Renard Weir. Renard's the Vice President of Operations at the Palms of Pasadena Hospital. He's an active connector, a brilliant leader, and a good, good person. Renard, can you take a second and introduce yourself?
Thanks for having me, Scott. As mentioned, I'm Ray Weir. I'm the Vice President of Operations at Palms of Pasadena Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. Just to give you guys a little overview of the hospital, it's an HCA affiliate facility. It's licensed at 307 beds, inpatient and outpatient services, and some of our top programs. We have a bariatric center of excellence program and also an advanced ortho and spine program that we're very proud of.
Well, fantastic. And you've mentioned the hospital, 300 plus beds, bariatrics, orthopedics and spine, HCA affiliation. Talk a little bit about your career journey and your leadership journey.
Thank you for that question, Scott. A little bit about me. I'm from Washington, D.C. originally. I grew up in the city. I went to Morehouse for undergrad, where I originally majored in finance. I thought I wanted to be a banker until I had a injury. I damaged the axillary nerve in my shoulder, went to the ER, and my wait time was super long. And I wanted to know who was in charge of the facility. I also wanted to know who paid my medical bills, because I think the average American don't really know who pays their medical bills. And so these two questions kind of popped up in my head, which made me to pursue healthcare further. From there, I was out for a full year. And then that year, I did the Blue for Healthcare Leadership Institute program. And that program really exposes minority students to careers in healthcare. And John Bluford, who was the president of Truman Medical Centers, really put me under the wing and mentored me and sponsored me to really pursue a career in healthcare. So from there on, I entered a career in healthcare consulting post-undergrad, and then went to Georgetown to do my Master's of Health Systems Administration. And I entered HCA through the Executive Residency Program. And in this program, I worked in Nashville at the corporate office in the Strategy and Innovation Group. And that group sits at the intersection between divisional and senior leadership, really advising the company on identifying opportunities and scaling best practices to increase speed to market. And so, you know, being in strategy, I made the shift to operations and never looked back.
Take one more moment, because at Morehouse College is a great point of pride in the African-American community. It's a great American institution. Talk a little bit more about that, because many of us, of course, that are not people of color, have this sort of passing familiarity with some of these unbelievably amazing African-American institutions that originally were at least. But tell us more about it. Help our audience understand more about Morehouse College and some of the other great African-American institutions and how they came to be and sort of how they continue to thrive.
Yeah, so Morehouse, it was built in 1867 and started out as a church. And it was primarily serving the African-American population where, you know, at this time they couldn't go seek an education at some of your predominantly white institutions. And this was just a home.
Right. At the time it was founded, there were a lot of schools that didn't allow African-Americans to go to those schools. And a lot of these schools evolved because basically African-Americans were totally shut out of all kinds of other institutions. The establishment of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Place like Howard University, do they come out of the same origins originally? Like these magnificent African-American institutions that came out of these horribly, prejudicial, biased policies?
Yep. So all of the HBCUs were founded to serve this population of African-American students who couldn't seek an education at other predominantly white institutions. And I think when you think about the culture and foundation of these schools, it's built on teaching students their history, teaching students why things are the way they are and what needs to be changed to move the needle, not only within healthcare, but in all facets of life. And so I think when we're talking about health disparities and some of the institutional things that are contributing to inequities in health, you think about the people who attend these universities who are constantly learning about some of the historical biases that were put in place that that still exist today. So that was one of my reasons for going to Morehouse, given that it served a certain population, but also understanding that at that institution, I'll be getting a rich foundation of what it means to, you know, be an African American, and how can I use my historical context and knowledge to inform the future of how healthcare is provided and how ultimately how we treat others.
Well, fantastic. And I appreciate you so much sharing, Reynard. Thank you very, very much. Talk about moving forward. What do you view as your top three priorities this year? How do you look at that?
So my top three priorities this year, one, I recently was promoted to vice president of operations about a month ago. So I just moved into a new market. So one of my focus points is to build strategic relationships externally and internally. I think a large part of the work we do as administrators not only is running a hospital, but also connecting with community leaders and community entities to inform people on the services that we offer and what we do well. And when I talk about the culture of the hospital, we have the top patient experience scores in the company. We're really focused on quality and patient throughput. And these are things that we ought to highlight and we ought to talk about to some of our community partners to let them know what level of service they're getting. My second point of emphasis is how do we sustain operations post-COVID, whether we're talking about lab operations, patient throughput, stabilizing staffing to support patient care. And all that really falls back on is become the provider of choice, becoming the ER of choice, becoming the OR of choice, ensuring that we have all the resources, making sure that our staff is trained and competent, and just making sure we're efficient. This is what allows people to want to come to us. This is what attracts physicians. This would attract patients. And so just ensuring that we're the provider of choice. And my last focus point is really realigning with key physicians post-COVID. I think when you stop elective surgery and physicians have had cases scheduled, how do you re-engage them and realign? And so I think there's a lot of opportunity with data sharing with physicians to better understand how we're performing, how from an efficiency standpoint, and really connecting and re-engaging with those docs so that we can provide the service to them, but ultimately provide quality of care to the patients we're serving.
So fantastic. So really looking at three big things, excelling in your new role. Congratulations on your promotion. Just fantastic. Second, making sure the constant quest for greatness in the services that the facility offers. And third, reconnecting and constantly connecting with the physician community there to keep on strengthening Palms of Pasadena and the hospital and so forth. Another question for you. Leadership. You have this great evolving career as a leader. What advice do you have for emerging leaders? What would you tell somebody 10 years younger than you or at your age level or older, but here's things you should be thinking about when you think about leadership?
Thanks. That's an awesome question. So I would say the humility factor works. Especially being a young leader, I want to tailor this question to your early careers and young leaders. Leadership requires trust, it requires respect, and it requires credibility. And I don't think you can get to respect if you don't gain the trust. And I definitely don't think you can get to credibility if you don't gain the respect. And so I think a way to actually gain the trust is being there for your employees. And once you start building that relationships and you show up, and you'll learn that your credibility is building at the same time. And so I urge every young leader to really hone in on those three points. You have to have the trust to get to respect. You have to have the respect to get the credibility. And once all those three things align, then you'll be able to be a more effective leader. And I just want to talk about what that looks like in practice. Just being visible, it means taking a genuine interest in the specific work that your team members are doing, and ultimately just being an advocate.
Thank you. Ray, this has been a tough year in the United States between the pandemic, the George Floyd killing, and the protests and discussions following that. It's been sort of an uneasy year in our country. Any thoughts on the future? Would you view it? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic about the future? Give us your thoughts there.
I'm very optimistic. I think the killing of George Floyd really highlighted not only the disparities in policing, but also in the same time we're dealing with COVID. And so COVID identified the underlying systemic things that are happening from a health standpoint in the African American community. So I think we're dealing with two dynamics at the same time that really accelerated or highlighted where we are as a company. And I think a lot of leaders took to that. I think a lot of leaders really took a charge to figure out how can we make diversity work well. And I don't think that's a matter of just putting diverse people together in a room. I think that's a matter of putting the right diverse people in the room so you can get the optimal output. And so I think these two instances accelerated what we're doing as a country. And I've seen it from multiple different companies highlighting the experiences of Black people, ensuring that Black leaders are at the table. And also, I just want to talk about the women piece. I really see a drastic change, especially when we're talking about infant mortality and maternal mortality. Having women at the table, women of color at the table to speak to some of these issues in healthcare, I think it's really vital. And so we're moving in the right direction, and I'm really confident and optimistic about the future, given the progress we made this year.
Ray, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it is to speak to you. What a great emerging young leader you are. It's so privileged to have you on and talk to us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.